Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. And this is a great story. It could be a movie, right? I have an idea. I have a dream. And it's going to come true. It's like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney, didn't they do that? Where they said, oh, we have an idea. We have a dream. Let's make a movie or whatever they did. I guess I'm not remembering it very well. But I do know this, David Kerpel. You have an idea. You have a dream. And you're making it happen. Congratulations to you.
Thanks, Steve.
So tell us all what this dream is about.
Okay. I've always loved animals. And dogs have had a special place in my heart. And basically, whenever I walk down the street, this has probably been for the last 20 years, 15 years, whenever I walk down the street, I always want to, you know, say hi to dogs, talk to the owner, things like that. And it's only been in probably the last few years that I knew that when I retired, I knew what I wanted to do. And basically that was to save as many dogs as possible in my life. And so in January of 2022, I didn't retire then, but things got kickstarted a little early because I was on vacation the December before, and my family saw this dog starving, going through trash on our vacation, and it was just really sad, and it just hit me and my daughter. We went to get some food to try to feed it. And I think that's what really started me asking, why can't I do this now, and why wait? And a lot of people don't get to realize their dreams ever, if not, you know, at my age. I'm 51, and I'm still working, but I'm really now devoting, you know, half to my real job and half to my job of rescuing dogs. And so in January of 2022, my wife and I created Forever Home Dog Sanctuary. It's spelled F-U-R, Forever Home.
Of course.
Dog Sanctuary. I got to have a cute name, right?
Sure.
And so we incorporated that. I started recruiting people to be on the board of directors who were passionate about not only rescuing dogs, but also, you know, had knowledge and experience about handling dogs, about training, about being on a board, things like that. So I wanted a strong base, and I wanted to keep the board of directors small before we kind of, you know, started this quest, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that, because it basically took us. We incorporated in February of 2022, in May of 2022, we got our 501c3. So we are, you know, legally a nonprofit. And then, it basically took us a year and a half before we could find land to basically create what my vision was. And we wanted a physical structure so that we could have a place for these dogs to come and play and enjoy life and live basically their best life that they could. And slowly we formed a mission, which was, you know, the mission of Forever Home Dog Sanctuary is to rescue these dogs and rehabilitate the dogs to prepare them to be adopted into their forever home.
Let me interrupt you so I understand a little better. So you now have the land, but you didn't say where this is going to be at and when this is actually going to open up.
Yes. So the land is in Richmond, Illinois, mm-hmm. which is a couple miles from the border of Wisconsin, northwest, just about 15 minutes west of Antioch. A lot of people know where Antioch is. And it's 6 acres of land, and we are going to be starting to rescue dogs. Our goal is to start August 1st, 2025, so just less than a year from now. And we're going to rescue the dogs from the shelters that these dogs basically never have a chance of being adopted. And it's through no fault of their own. It's just they were born they're born the way they're born, whether it's their breed or maybe they got old and they got turned in, or, you know, nobody wanted them, or they have medical issues. It's basically these dogs that are destined to spend their lives in these shelters. And these dogs might be wonderful dogs and wonderful pets, and people just don't give them a chance. And so we're going to take these dogs out, and we're going to rehabilitate them with dog trainers, dog behaviorists. And they, in the meantime, are going to be able to enjoy life in this on these 6 acres.
Wow. And they can kind of run freely. So it's sending the dog to a farm, but with a positive outcome?
Yeah, we basically wanted to make sure that we weren't just taking these dogs and limiting the amount of dogs that we could have in the space, because we have a hybrid between, you know, a shelter, a shelter and a sanctuary. So not only do they have this land to play on, but they also are going to be worked with so that they can eventually be adopted or rescued. And, you know, into a home, because that is the ultimate way to live as a dog, to be with a family. But if they never have that opportunity, then they get to spend their entire lives in paradise, basically. Yeah. And we're going to have a huge structure. We're fortunate that this land, it's right over the border in McHenry County, and we have a 19,000 square foot horse barn that we are in the process of designing to convert into a state-of-the-art dog rescue. And so they're going to have big rooms. They're going to have room to play. They're going to have room to socialize with volunteers and other dogs. And it's going to be an unbelievable facility.
Well, there's clearly a need for such a thing, and there are a couple scattered around the country, but there really aren't many of these, and I love the idea. How can I not? But I want to know how you raise money for such a thing as well, David.
So we're completely volunteer-based. And so we've been having events ever since the start to raise money through, you know, we've had them at events at restaurants. We've had bowling fundraisers. We've had a big event last year on the actual property. We have a really fun one that we're doing coming up in October.
All right, hold the fun, because we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to have the fun, or at least hear about where that fun event is going to be. And we're going to hear more about the dog sanctuary. I'm interested in where these dogs are coming from. Probably they're not getting a general email that goes out to all dogs. If you want to spend the weekend, come here. It's probably different than that, but we'll find out what it is when we come back, as David Kerpel is here, who's making his dream come true. David Kerpel is the founder of the Forever Homes Dog Sanctuary that hasn't exactly opened yet. He's still raising money for this. You have a fun event coming up. But before we get to that fun event, again, where's the sanctuary at, and what is your target date to actually open, David? And, you know, people are going to ask, is this really going to happen? I know you're a legit 501(c). I know what you did and still do for a living is a lawyer, so I assume all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and all those things that you guys do. But when is it actually supposed to happen?
So August 1st, 2025 is when we plan to rescue our first dog. And so, yes, people at the beginning were wondering, you know, yeah, everybody, you know, oh yeah, everybody has this dream. Oh, I've always wanted to do that. You know, that's what I hear a lot. And then oftentimes, you know, it doesn't happen. But I always tell those people, hey, look, you want to see this happen, you can actually get in on the ground floor, because you can see this transform. And that was back in 2022. And since then, we've raised several hundred thousand dollars. We are going to be, you know, the facility and everything is probably going to be upwards of a million or so. We are going to be continuing to fundraise. But one thing I guess people should understand about me is that I'm very persistent. I'm also very driven. And once I set my mind on something, I really don't let go. And so people who meet me and talk to me about this project, they see my enthusiasm. They know that we are, you know, we're working with professionals, we're working with engineers, we're working with architects. And now we're going to be interviewing general contractors shortly. And so, you know, it's going to happen regardless, you know, I know it's going to happen. So that's not an issue. It's just an issue of when. And August 1st, based on the timeline that we've set out with our consultant and our board of directors, that is when we are going to rescue our first dog.
From where? Where are you going to get the dogs from?
Yeah, that's a great question, because even before we had the property, I would get emails from people asking, oh, you know what? We got a dog and we have a child now, and the dog and the child don't get along. You know, when my grandkids come over, you know, the dog doesn't get along with the grandkids, you know, can you take our dog? And unfortunately, I have to tell them two things. One, we're not up and running. And two, we actually will not be taking dogs from households. We're going to be pulling our dogs from shelters so that we already know or have a general idea of the dog's behavior and what their needs are. And so that's, you know, we'll be taking them from shelters in the area, but also we'll be taking them from shelters. It could be Chicago Animal Care and Control. It could be shelters down south. Basically, we want to prevent dogs from being euthanized. And so, you know, we'll go through, you know, a set of procedures to determine, you know, which dogs to take and how many to take. The key is, though, we're going to be more about quality than quantity. We're not going to be taking 300 dogs at one time. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be very methodical as to how we do this.
As makes sense, because too many dogs, first of all, you have issues of resources, financial resources for yourself to feed all those dogs. Secondly, the dogs have to, it's a sanctuary. There will be some socialization with dogs who can be, so they have an opportunity to play with other dogs, but too many dogs is not a good thing. So there are the space constraints as well, and the space constraints inside whatever facility you have up and running when you do convert that old barn. So yeah, that makes absolute sense. And what we know today is that quality more than quantity matters, because we're also talking about quality of life. And what you're going to end up in my crystal ball is that half of the dogs or more are going to be 5 or 6 years of age or older, because half the dogs or more at animal shelters happen to be older dogs. We know that. Last week we talked on the show about that when we talked with the executive director of the Gray Muzzle Organization. So you're going to have a lot of senior dogs there too, David.
Absolutely. And we're going to give these dogs just an unbelievable life. We want to have, you know how when you are in school, you know, parents always look for what's the teacher-student ratio, right? You want
a
very good ratio so that all the students are cared for, are looked after, they get quality care, right? Well, we are going to have a very good staff to dog ratio, because we don't want each dog to have 15 minutes of exercise and that's it. We want these dogs to tell the volunteers or the staff when they're ready to come in, right? So they're going to be tired, they're going to have fun with other dogs, and you know what, if they can't get along with other dogs, then they'll be able to play just with the staff member, you know. But either way, they're going to get exercise, physical and mental, and they're just going to be really happy, and they're just going to enjoy life there, and that's what we want to see.
Now tell me about what's happening, if you can, because it's very scary, October 18th and 19th.
Well, I don't know if it's too scary, but it is a Halloween bonanza.
Blah, blah, blah.
Halloween is my favorite holiday, and so, you know, growing up, I had tons of decorations, and I decorated my front yard. I've since moved all those decorations over to the sanctuary, and we are going to be Friday, October 18th, from 6:30 to 11. We are going to be having outdoor movie It'll be a scary movie. We're going to be having scary, right? Probably it'll be a surprise, but it'll be appropriate for Halloween and for a dog sanctuary. Maybe your listeners can get creative and try to guess what that might be. Lights off haunted barn with all the decorations and lights and fog machines. We're going to have a bonfire with s'mores. We're going to have hay rides. There's going to be food to purchase. There's going to be the most fun thing is dog-friendly leashed dogs will be allowed to be brought that evening.
Excellent.
That'd be nice.
And where is it at on December 18th and 19th? And what time and how can people sign up?
Sure. It's October 18th and on 19th, by the way, Saturday, October 19th, that's more the family day, and that's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so there's, it's more family-friendly events, pumpkin decorating, a costume dog contest. It's going to be a lot of fun, trick-or-treating, that kind of thing. So it's going to be at 10720 Zarnsdorf Road in Richmond, Illinois, and they can sign up by going to the Forever Home website, which is Forever Home, remember F-U-R, foreverhomedogsanctuary.org, O-R-G.
Excellent.
If any of your listeners have any questions, they can email me, and that number is also on the website, but I can give it to you. It's info, I-N-F-O, at F-H-D-S-mail, M-A-I-L, .org. So that's how they can attend.
All right. Well, you know what? I can hear your passion right through the radio. David, congratulations. We're going to follow this story, and I will come up at some point in time to see what you got going on up there. It's wonderful. And thank you for helping us make this announcement on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Next week, we're going to talk about what a great need is in the Chicago area, and that's imaging. The veterinary diagnostic centers is what they're called. It's ultrasound specifically for our pets. So you go into the veterinarian, your vet says, I think this, we x-rayed, we didn't see, or for whatever reason, the pet needs an ultrasound. Various kinds of ultrasounds for various parts of the body, but the pet requires, or it would be a good idea for us to diagnose, an ultrasound. That's hard to come by. I mean, it really is. So Dr. Jeffrey Bloomberg had an idea a couple of years ago to create a facility where essentially experts are there, veterinarians and technicians, but essentially all they do is ultrasound. It's so badly needed because your average vet clinic doesn't have that kind of equipment. That is what we'll talk about next week right here on Steve Dale's Pet World. She is a registered veterinary technician who specializes in open wide dentistry. You see her if you happen to go to veterinary conferences, and I do, at every veterinary conference ever, because she's always teaching. She loves talking about this topic. Mary Berg, I can't believe this is the first time I've had you on the radio.
I know, it's kind of amazing, but I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to talk to you. I'm always happy to talk to you. And, you know, let's start here. How important is it that we provide maintenance, if you will, for our dog or cat's teeth?
It's extremely important. When I talk about veterinary dentistry, I compare almost everything to what we as humans deal with our own oral cavities. Plaque will actually is the disease-causing mechanism in the oral cavity, and it will actually start to form within hours after a dental cleaning. Actually, probably less than 20 minutes, it starts laying down the first layer of plaque on your teeth and in our dog and cat's teeth as well. And if we don't remove that every 48 to 72 hours, it will calcify into what we commonly know as tartar. But it is the plaque that causes the infection. The plaque is made up of bacteria and bacterial byproducts that grow not only on the crowns of the teeth, but up underneath the gums. And that's where it starts to destroy the tissues, leading to things such as periodontal disease, which can lead to tooth loss in our pets.
So we should be brushing their teeth every 20 minutes?
No, not every 20 minutes, probably every 24 to 48 hours. So every day or every other day.
Now,
we brush our teeth twice a day.
Right. Or more, we hope.
Yeah.
So that, but that all sounds easy. But here's the thing. Uh-huh. Even some veterinary dentists that you know and I know have given up years ago, and they say, you know what? People aren't going to do it. So which camp are you in? Are you still saying, yes, let's get to it. We can do it. It is still the best way, I believe, as far as maintenance goes. Or do you say, let's use some of these products that are available? Or do you say, let's do a little of both?
Well, actually, I am kind of in the middle of both camps. I still believe brushing is the gold standard. That is what we should be doing. However, in the United States, where we have about 2% of pet owners brushing their pets' teeth. So at some point, you kind of have to figure out, what am I going to get people to do? What are they able and willing to do? And that's going to probably be related to using products that actually do work in the oral cavity. So feeding such things as a good quality dental diet on a daily basis, which acts as a consumable toothbrush, for lack of a better way to explain it. Doing those kinds of things and giving good quality dental treats are probably the best way, because they're mechanical action. They are removing that plaque from the teeth on a daily basis. So they have to be, you know, quality products. I don't want anything that is too hard for our pets to chew. Our mouths, if we bite down on like a jawbreaker, our jaw will shift to the side, but our dogs and cats can't do that. Their jaws don't shift side to side. So when they chew on something that is too hard, like a bone, it can actually lead to tooth fractures. And nobody wants to have a fractured tooth in their pet's mouth. So we want to make sure it's a product that, I always look for the VOHC, or Veterinary Oral Health Council, seal of approval on all of our products, seal of acceptance on my dental products that I'm going to recommend to pet owners. So you can go and get information on the VOHC at vohc.org and find all of the products that have this seal. It is much like the American Dental Seal, the American Dental Association seal of approval. So these products are proven, have had studies done to prove that they actually do reduce plaque or tartar in the oral cavity.
And I think this is really important for a whole lot of reasons. One, and we'll talk about some. One of those reasons is when you go to the pet store or online and you look at products, or you Google products that do what you say, that are going to be beneficial for my dog or my cat's teeth, you can find 100, literally 100 products more, probably. How do you know which ones are marketing? Which, my guess, knowing you, Mary, is you'd say some are just that, and others that are the real deal. It's this website that will tell you?
Yeah, I would look for that seal. All the products that do have that seal of acceptance will have it on their packaging. It's usually a little white square that will have VOHC on it. Now, there are a plethora of products, as you said, when you go to a pet store or online, that claim dental care and dental improvement. Many of them actually kind of scare me a little bit. Yes, I'm like, there's really no control over what can be put on those packages. It's not like when we have dog foods, there's certain things that have to be on the labels and things like that. With products that are more of a treat or toy based, there's no control. So anybody can put anything they want on the label, and it's up to the consumers to really try to figure out what's safe, what's not safe. My rule of thumb when you're looking at a toy or a product for your pet, if I can't take it in both of my hands and easily bend it, I'm not going to give it to my pet, because it's going to be too hard for their mouth, and they're going to cause a fracture issue. That's kind of my philosophy. I always joke with people, if you could pound a nail in the wall with it, please do not give it to your pet. It's going to cause more problems than necessary. And you know, there's a lot of things out there. You just have to kind of, you know, use some detective skills when you're looking at them, or even just, you know, call your veterinarian and say, hey, I found product X. Is this something that is going to be safe for my pet?
Well, but sometimes some veterinarians don't know. So word is getting out there, but, you know, it is still thought by some, even professionals, and definitely many pet parents. I mean, you must hear this every day, Mary, that, okay, I am going to go buy antler ears because I want to make sure that some of that tartar gets rubbed off my pet's teeth. Tell me about that or hard bones of any kind.
Well, you just made my skin crawl a bit.
I figured, Steve. Yeah.
When we look at those really hard things such as antlers, cow hooves, anything, you know, real bones that we can get at the butcher shop or whatever, they actually lead to fractures. And what happens, as I said earlier, the jaw can't shift side to side. So when these animals are chewing on them, it actually can cause fractures in their mouth. And a lot of people will tell me, well, you know, wolves have been eating wolf bones forever, and look how healthy wolves are. And I'm kind of like, you know what? I did some work with wolves back in my research days, and we found a lot of fractures in their mouths, on their teeth. Up to 7 fractures in, you know, per mouth in a group of 17 animals we looked at. And these guys were only 2 to 3 years of age. So they're not getting the oral care and the oral health we need. They don't live as long as our companion animals do. And, you know, we just want to make sure we're keeping our pets as healthy and safe as possible, as long as possible. So try to avoid those real bones. Try to avoid anything that's too hard that you can't easily bend. Now, there comes a time when you have to make a really hard decision. If you have a super hard, super strong chewer, a dog who would, you know, if they don't give him something to chew on, he's going to, you know, eat your couch. You can give them something that will be a little bit stronger, but you have to go into that knowing that you are willing to treat that pet with the proper treatment should they have a tooth fracture.
And I want to talk
about... I'm not advocating for it, but I just want to, you know, make sure people can understand that.
Yeah. I want to talk about those tooth fractures and why it's such a complicated issue. And I also want to talk about something we talked about at the very beginning of this but glossed over, and that is brushing your pet's teeth. How the heck do you do that? And we'll answer when we come back on WGN. She is a veterinary technician. She is also a specialist in dentistry. Why dentistry, Mary? You had all these choices and you chose the mouth. Why?
I fell into it by accident. When I moved to Kansas, I took a job with a research company who did companion animal dental research. And ended up falling absolutely in love with it. And I have been in the dental arena, the veterinary dental arena, basically over 33 years now. And absolutely love it because it can make such a huge difference to our pets' well-being and their overall. You can actually add life, you know, years to their life if we can keep their mouth healthy.
All right, that's something people don't necessarily know about or talk about. But if you think about it, it makes sense. So what that plaque is, as you described it earlier, is bacteria. The tartar kind of keeps it there. So that's bacteria that's in your pet's mouth. And not only is it not so pleasant when your dog gives you that big wet kiss and it's stinky, but that stinky means something, I think, Mary, and can impact the quality of your dog's life as well as the length of your dog or cat's life.
Yeah, you're right. Bad breath in our pets is not normal. Okay. We've kind of been raised with that thought that, oh, it's just dog breath. But dog breath should not be offensive, or cat breath for that matter. And when the plaque is on the teeth, it not only grows onto the crown of the tooth, but it grows up underneath the gum line. And the type of bacteria that is in that plaque below the gum line changes it to a different type of plaque. And it becomes a very pathogenic bacteria below the gum line, and it starts to actually destroy all of the tissues that hold our teeth and hold our dog and cat's teeth in the mouth. So those bacteria that are below there will start to produce and need this something called thiols to continue to reproduce. Okay, and thiols are what give that really stinky breath, kind of that rotten egg smell almost, is a, for lack of a better term, a byproduct of those bacteria that are growing below the gum line.
And those bacteria in the mouth don't stay in the mouth. They, at some point in time, ultimately end up throughout your pet's system.
Correct. They can go ahead and migrate to the kidney, the liver, and the heart. And animals who have severe oral disease or what we call periodontal disease can end up with kidney issues, heart issues, as well as there's even been some reports of that bacteria being found in the joints of animals, as well as in their, with their heart and their arteries, the plaque will build up in there as well.
Now, here's what I've been saying for years. Those cats that we call finicky are probably in pain when they eat. And even dogs won't always tell you. Now, if you pay close attention, your dog or cat may eat to one side. But sometimes when they're not as interested in food as they once were, it could mean that there is a fracture in a tooth or some sort of other dental issue.
Correct. A fracture will be painful. I mean, that means that the pulp is exposed. And every time that animal, eats, breathes, does anything, it can be sensitive. Another thing that we see more in cats, but we are seeing it in dogs as well, is something called tooth resorption. And we really don't truly understand what triggers tooth resorption. But for some reason, for a lack of a better term, the body starts to almost consume the tooth. And these are extremely painful. Up until they're completely gone, because the dentin is exposed. And when the dentin underneath the enamel of the crown of the tooth is exposed, it's communicating directly to the pulp where all the nerves and things are. And that's why cats will sometimes chew on one side because they have a problem on the other side. Some cats will actually hiss at the water bowl because it hurts to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Some animals are truly very stoic. And it goes back to kind of evolutionary times where they don't want to show pain because they don't want to be, eliminated from the pack. So they're not going to show us the pain they have. But we do, it's our responsibility as pet owners to pay attention to their oral cavity, maybe lift that lip, once a week and just kind of see if you see anything that's red on a tooth that shouldn't be there. If a tooth doesn't look like it's its normal shape. Those kinds of things are our responsibility as pet owners to look for. And if we see something abnormal, we really need to contact our veterinarian to find out if there's something we can do to treat that tooth.
All right. With the little bit of time we have left, let's say you have a 15-year-old dog or 17-year-old cat. Is it dangerous, assuming they're in otherwise good health? Well, you'll explain, to have their teeth cleaned.
There's always a risk with anesthesia. However, the risk is fairly low. And as older pets, they do need to have that oral care. And we should be thinking about whether or not we need to get those mouths cleaned up so that they can live longer. If you're concerned about the anesthesia, talk to your veterinarian about it. Make sure that they're going to do customized anesthetic protocols for those pets, that they're comfortable with putting a senior pet under anesthesia. If they're not comfortable, ask them to refer you to someone who does it more routinely. But it is perfectly safe if your pet is overall in good health to have anesthesia as a senior. As I always like to say, age is not a disease. It's just a consequence of not dying.
And one more question. Yes. One more question, Mary. Did you brush before talking with me?
Yes, I did.
All right, I can tell. Mary Berg is a veterinary technician who speaks all over and is a superb teacher, by the way, of veterinary professionals. And I saw you at a conference, and you said to me, I've never done radio with you, Steve. And now we've had our first dance together. I used mouthwash before I began. I hope that helped, Mary.
It did. It made a big difference. I feel so much better.
I knew you would. Mary Berg, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Who knew elephants can do this? Now, imagine an elephant talking to specifically another elephant by name. They actually have names for one another. Researchers have discovered that elephants, well, we knew that elephants can communicate like about 2 miles away, approximately, with these ultrasonic communications that they use that are so deep, if you will, so low frequency, that's a better way to put it, that we can't even detect them. But they're actually, in some cases, imagine calling your kid on a playground that's a mile away without a cell phone. I mean, just using your voice. We cannot do that. Elephants can do that. But not only calling all the kids on the playground, but a specific elephant. It's amazing what researchers have learned. Dolphins can do that as well. Really interesting stuff, which I always have for you on Steve Dale's Pet World. We talk to you next week, bright and early on WGN.